Let's continue to pray that the Almighty God will speak to us, that the Lord will bless us, He will minister to us in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Our Lord and our God, we thank and appreciate you because of the wonderful things you have been doing in our midst. Thank you because you have shown us that you are a faithful and a compassionate God. Thank you, Lord, for all our sisters and brothers that have shared, all our sisters and our brothers have shared testimony. Thank you, Lord, for the ones that you have done for us that we are not able to share tonight. Father, I pray that wonderful and great things will continue to happen in our midst in Jesus' name. As we look at your word this evening, I pray that you speak to every heart. Bless every one of us. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. By the grace of God, this evening, we are considering this topic. Have compassion on them. Have compassion on them. Brethren, if you were to ask to describe somebody that is so dear to you, somebody that loves you, somebody that you cherish, and then maybe your husband, maybe a friend, maybe someone that is just close to you, that you should use a word to describe that person. Most likely, it will be a difficult task for you to do because you may want to say the person is patient, loving, kind, hardworking, talented. You may want to use many words, but it may be difficult to use one single word for a person. But when we look at Jesus, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you are asked to describe who Jesus is using a particular word. Some might say powerful, some will say wise, some will say pure, some will say gentle, some may say authoritative. But I want to tell you tonight that one word that is above every other word that you could use to describe Jesus Christ is the word compassion. Compassion. That in one of the passages we have here in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, I'm going to read verse from verse 35. Matthew chapter 9 from verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. In this passage we have read, Jesus Christ painted some pictures here. One of them is a picture of a fainting, helpless multitude of souls. And the second picture is the picture of a shepherdless sheep exposed to the predator's attack. And you have, and in that one, he made use of animal husbandry words to describe that. And then we have another picture of a ripe crop, using crop production terms and words. And then if you put those three pictures together, you see Jesus Christ here, because of his compassion, born out of compassion, he saw a multitude of souls fainting, scattered without a guide, and therefore are exposed to danger of hellfire. You see, the compassion of Christ from that passage we just read. And we could also see his compassion, in another place in Matthew chapter 14. Let's look at verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. Brethren, what is compassion? Compassion is a deep feeling of sympathy for someone who is suffering. Having compassion entails showing mercy, feeling sympathy, and having pity for the plight and struggle of broken people living in a broken world like ours. And among these broken persons that we're talking about, the foremost among them are sinners around us. Compassion moves to action, just like you see Jesus Christ, you know, because he is a compassionate savior. He saw, compassion sees. He was moved to heal, to provide for the multitude. Compassion act. Compassion pities. Compassion forgives. Compassion touches lives. Let's read Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. If you want to touch lives, you want to be used of God to reach out to souls and to make them a better person than you met them, what you need is compassion. In Matthew 20, let's read verse 34. The Bible says, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Compassion touch lives. The Lord will give us the grace to possess this compassion of Christ that we're talking about today in Jesus' name and to have compassion on people. You know, Jesus Christ, you remember the woman at the well, Christ showed compassion. You remember blind Bartimaeus, Christ showed compassion. The multitude that were fainting, like that we just read today, he showed compassion. Even to the thief on the cross, when Christ himself was actually going through pain, he still showed compassion. And not only that, to those who crucified him, the Bible tells us that he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, that is what compassion does. The Lord will give us grace to have compassion on them in Jesus' name. Let's look more deeply into this in three parts. Number one, compassion, Christ's character. Compassion, Christ's character. In the book of Exodus chapter 20, that is where we see God giving the children of Israel the Ten Commandments. But when God gave the Israelites the commandments, he did not just want them to see the do's and don'ts. The first thing he did was to actually introduce himself. Let's look at Exodus 20 and see compassion, our God, our Christ character. Let's look at chapter 20 first. Exodus 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You could see, and then verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You see, God first introduced himself. I'm the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I had compassion on you. I brought you out. And then after God had brought them out, it took God a lot of things to bring them to the Mount Sinai. Moses went there. He took the commandment, but unfortunately, the children of Israel sinned, and those two tables of stone, they were broken. But God came again. You know, he told Moses to come back again and receive the commandment again. And when Moses came, look at the introduction of God to Moses in Exodus 34. Let's look at Exodus 34 now from verse number 6. He said, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. That's a word for compassion. Long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands. Before he gave the commandment again, the second time, he introduced himself. He wanted the Israelites to see him as he is, that he's a merciful, he's a gracious, he's a compassionate God. Compassion is the nature of God. It reflects God's nature. We have seen it in the place we just read. Compassion ought Christ to seek more laborers through prayer. In the passage we read earlier, the Bible says that when he saw the multitude scattered and fainting, he said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest will send forth more laborers into his harvest. Compassion, you know, ought Christ to seek for more laborers through prayer. And that's what compassion can do. Compassion will help us to pray for others. Compassion will help us not just to see them the way they are, but, you know, to look at them, to see them, and then we are able to pray and intercede on their behalf. Compassion inspired Christ to perform healings. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, we read it before. The Bible says that when he saw them, he was moved with compassion and he healed their sick. He healed them. That's what compassion does. Compassion compelled Christ to provide for the multitude. Brethren, this feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle in the Bible that you will see in all four gospels. You see it in Matthew, you see it in Mark, you see it in Luke, and you see it in John, except the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the only miracle you see there. And that's portraying, that's letting us know that Christ is a compassionate God, is a compassionate Lord. And the Lord will give us the grace to see him this way in Jesus' name. What God is telling us today is this. As a believer, maybe like the children of Israel who had received the commandment in the first time, and they have allowed the commandment to be broken, and God, instead of judging them, God, instead of casting them out, he's still introducing himself as a compassionate Savior, as a merciful, gracious Lord. God is telling us that maybe you have messed up. Maybe you have muddled things together. Maybe you have committed a sin. Maybe you are full of guilt and you are thinking, the Bible says, I shall not do this and I have done it. God is saying, yes, I want you to know that you should not have done that. But the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in truth, God wants you to come back because he's a merciful God. So don't stay where you are. Come to him and he will save you. He will receive you. He will forgive you in Jesus' name. Now, compassion. You know, we're still looking at Christ. We are still looking at compassion, Christ's character. Let's see what compassion does. Compassion guides Christ in revealing eternal truth. Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. There was this man who came to Christ, and this man, you know, he asked a very important question. What can I do, you know, to enter into eternal life, to enter the kingdom of God? And Christ told him, you know, do the commandment. And the man said, I have been doing this commandment since I was a youth. And the Bible tells us Christ did something. Let's look at what he did in Mark chapter 10, verse 21. The Bible says, then Jesus, beholding him, had compassion on him. Beholding him, loved him. Beholding him, did not want him to get lost. Beholding him, did not want him to go astray. Beholding him, did not want him to go to hell. And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and take up the cross and follow me. That is what Christ does. His compassion, you know, helped him, made him to reveal eternal truth to us. And sometimes God does that, you know, to us as believers. We come to the service like this. We come to Sunday worship service. We come for Bible studies. You know, we come for revival service, and God is revealing something to you. He's not keeping it away from you. He doesn't want you to perish. He doesn't want you to go astray, and he's revealing it to you, and he wants you to know this is what you need to do. Why not surrender your heart to me? Why not give up all these things to me? Why not surrender the totality of your life to me? You know, he will point your attention to that you are just experiencing the compassion of Christ, you know, through that. Let's continue as we look at the second part, compassion. Compassion's competence and conquests. You know, if as a believer you have this nature of compassion, what can compassion do? What is the power that compassion wields? What, you know, what is the extent that compassion will go? Let's look at it one after the other. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, we have read it before. Please, if you are there, could you help us to read? Compassion's competence and conquest. Compassion's competence and conquest. Please read for us if you are there. Matthew 14, 14.
Matthew 14, verse 14. I read. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick.
Amen. God bless you. Now, the Bible tells us that, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. After seeing those multitude, he had options. One option is to look away. Another option is to feel unconcerned. Another option is, you know, to do something. But the Bible tells us that when Jesus saw a great multitude, because he was moved with compassion, what did he do? He healed them. And that's what compassion does. That's the extent compassion will go. That is what compassion can accomplish. Compassion makes us to refuse to be a disengaged, distant observer. as you go around in the city, as you go around in your school, as you go to your workplace, and you see smoking, you see immorality, you see unrighteousness, you are cleaning, you see so many dirty stuff. As a believer, you have options. You could look away. You may not want to bother to give anybody trapped. You may even want to decide to hide your identity. But compassion will make you to refuse to be a disengaged, distant observer. It will make you to do something. It will make you to act. It will make you to want to do something. And the Lord will move us to action in the name of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 32, the Bible tells us, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continued with me these 3 days and have nothing to eat. I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. You see, compassion, Jesus Christ, all what we are concerned about is their spiritual life. So I wouldn't want to care. Let them go, let them go. But what did compassion do? What did compassion make Christ to do? Compassion made him not to be a distant observer. It made him to move swiftly to action. I want to ask you a question as a believer. Do you have the compassion of Christ in you? As you call your mom, as you call your dad, as you call your siblings, as you send them money, as you show maybe some physical compassion to them, have you preached to them? Are you concerned about their salvation? This close friend that is coming close to you, this friend that want to come close to you, are you preaching? Are you concerned about the eternal soul or eternal resting place of that person? Are you concerned about the lifestyle of this person? Are you concerned about the soul of this person? Are you preaching to this person? Compassion will make you to refuse to be a disengaged, distant observer. What will compassion help us to do? Compassion, you know, produces supernatural wonders. You see, Christ has the power to pray. He could pray, he could make things happen. But the Bible tells us that as he saw the multitude, as he saw the sick, as he saw those, you know, who have the palsy, as he saw these people, he was moved with compassion, and that moved him to pray, and supernaturals begin to happen. In Luke chapter 9, verse 11 to verse 17, let's just briefly look at some verses there. In the book of Luke chapter 9, let's read from verse number 11. Luke chapter 9, verse 11. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And then on and on. And eventually he provided for them. Supernatural wonders because of the compassion of Christ. Supernatural, you know, miracles because of the compassion of Christ. Another thing that, you know, compassion will do, you know, another conquest and competence of compassion is in Mark chapter 1, verse 41. Please, if you are there, help us to read. Mark chapter 1, let's look at verse 41. Mark chapter 1, verse 41.
Mark chapter 1, verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will be thou clean.
God bless you, richly, my brother. Now, if you look at it from verse 40, he said, and there came a leper to him. Now, we all know in Israel, in a Jewish society, if a person is a leper, he's not allowed to stay among the people because of that infection. You know, they don't want other people to be infected. And this is the law of God also, that those persons should be banished out of the society. Now, this leper came to Christ. Let's continue. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus moved with compassion. Now, he could move with compassion and move far away from this man and then still pray for him. But look at what Jesus did. Look at it in verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. He broke that boundary. Put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will be thou clean. Brethren, languages, you know, could be a barrier to preaching the gospel, to reaching people's life. There may be many other barriers, maybe social status. Your social status is so low. You are doing maybe cleaning. You have managers and, you know, big bosses. You wouldn't want to probably go there. You feel so low. You don't want to preach. You know, this may be many barriers. Language may be a barrier. Status may be a barrier. You may also have maybe some other, you are not mobile. That may also be a barrier. But brethren, there is something that can break every barrier. And that is compassion. Everybody understands that compassion. Every language understands it. Every kindred understands it. Every nation understands it. Finnish society, Finnish language understands it. You don't need to speak it. It will be seen. The Lord will give us the grace to conquer through compassion the souls of men in this land in Jesus' name. What does compassion do? Compassion heals the broken hearted. You know, we do read that, and Jesus Christ going about doing good and healing the sick, and then, I think the Bible tells us that, you know, God has sent him to heal the broken hearted and all that. But do you know that the healing of the broken hearted is actually an offshoot of compassion? Let's look at it in Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, verse 13, the Bible says, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. This woman had just lost somebody. And this woman is weeping, broken. But Christ came and changed the whole story through the power of compassion. What does compassion do? Compassion resuscitates and resurrects in hopeless situation. We know the case of Lazarus. It was an hopeless situation. But compassion came, you know, the compassion of Christ. The Bible says he even got there and he wept. And he associated with them. And eventually Lazarus came forth again. And that's what compassion will do. Are there people around us who are broken? Are there people around us who are broken hearted? Are there believers who are like dead? Who were once believers but now are dead? Through the power of compassion, we can resuscitate and resurrect them, even if the situation is hopeless. And the Lord will give us this grace in Jesus' name. Let's look at the last part quickly before we pray. Cultivating and conveying compassion. How can I, as a believer, have this nature of compassion? And how can I convey it? How can I pass it on? How can I show it to others? And who should I show it to? Let's look at Matthew chapter 18. The book of Matthew, chapter 18, we're going to read from verse 32 to verse 34. Please, if you are there, help us to read. Matthew 18, verse 32 to verse 34.
Matthew 18, 32. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, so he should pay all that was due unto him. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Now, I know we know the story and we understand the story. This man, you know, it was a parable told by Christ. This man was owing. And then he sought for forgiveness. And the master had compassion on him and forgave him. Now, another person was also owing him. He was also supposed to forgive that person, but he refused to forgive the person. But, you know, why Christ, you know, was trying to teach in this way, he made us to understand that because the man had received compassion, he also need to show compassion. And how can you cultivate and convey, you know, this nature of compassion? Number one, you must have received the compassion of Christ, which means you must have accepted that love that Jesus showed to all mankind. Are you born again? If you are not born again, you may just show physical love to people, but that spiritual aspect of love, of reaching out to souls, of showing the love that wins souls to Christ, you will not be able to show that kind of love. So you must have accepted That compassion from Christ, that love from Christ, that sacrifice on the cross, which actually showed that he loved us so much, he is compassionate about us, and he went up to the extent of dying on the cross of Calvary. You must accept that. After you have accepted that, you'll be able to also show it to others. And then from this passage, it also lets us know that it's a crime. It's a crime for you as a believer if you have received that blessing of compassion from Christ, and you refuse to show it to others. Let's continue as we read the same book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 36. There's a mystery about showing compassion and even having compassion. In Matthew, chapter 9, let's read verse 36. Matthew, chapter 9, let's look at verse 36. The Bible tells us here that, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. The question I want to ask you is this: if Christ was not there to see the situation of the multitude, would that bowel of compassion in him have actually come up, and would he have acted? No. Brethren, this is telling us the eye gate is very, very important when it comes to the subject of compassion. If we sit back at home, we are not out there to see the drunken man on the street, the smoking man there, the one that will not want to listen to the word of God, or even come to the outreach to see, you know, the man you will stretch the track to and he will say no. Or the old woman at the age of 78 that you will stretch track to, somebody that is close to the grave, and the woman will say, hey, meet up, hey. And the woman will say, no, that he doesn't want. As a believer, if you are in that kind of scenario and you see that, you feel that, oh, this woman that is about dying, what an opportunity for her to come to Jesus Christ. But if you are not always there and you are not seeing anything, the bowel of compassion in you, which is the bottle up there, and you will not be able to show it. The Lord will give us the grace. Will show, will be there, will see, and will express and convey compassion to others in Jesus' name. Look at chapter 14, verse 14 of Matthew. See it again. The Bible says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion. What you see affects you. What you see, you know, pulls you. What you see, you know, will make you to actually allow the bowl of compassion in you to be shown to others. Let's continue in Mark chapter 6. Verse 34. Mark chapter 6. Let's look at verse 34 very quickly. Mark 6, verse number 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion. And there's something very instructive about Christ here. When he saw much people coming to him, he did not see a large, big, multinational congregation and say, wow, I have them. No. He saw them as sheep having no shepherd. He saw them as people that actually need compassion, that need love, that need to come to God. He saw the right way. You know, give us the grace to see the right way in Jesus' name. On that point, let's read again, and let's read also Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. And he entered, this is how we show compassion. This is the extent we can go to show compassion. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was known that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Look at verse 3. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four people carried this man. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof. That is what compassion will do. We go the extra mile. They would have said, we don't have way to enter the place. Let's take him back home. They went up the roof, they removed the roof, and they let the man down where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he saw their compassion. He saw their love, you know, for this fellow. He said unto the sick of the palsy, today is the end of your problem. Son, thy sin be forgiving thee. Brethren, the Lord is telling us, some persons, we have been inviting them to church, we have been bringing them to church, we have been advising them to come to church, and they are not yielding. God is telling us, don't give up. Continue. Let the bone of compassion in you, let it come out. Continue to motivate them. Continue to bring them. And they will get to Christ in Jesus' name. Brethren, around us are people in desperate need of Christ. The Lord wants us to have compassion on them and bring them to Him. Who are the people we should have compassion on? We should have compassion on the prodigal sons and daughters. There are people that they have known Christ before, but now they have gone astray. We see them in our cities. We see them in our country here. The Lord is telling us, don't give up on them. Go out there to the prodigal sons and daughters and bring them back. The battered and the broken. There are people that are battered and broken. Like, you know, that man that was traveling and the good Samaritan saw him. Let's look at it in the book of Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we're going to read quickly from verse 30 to verse 35. Luke chapter 10 from verse 30. Luke chapter 10 from verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, which when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host. You see what compassion will do. There are those who are broken and battered by others. There are those who are also broken and battered by their own choices, just like the prodigal sons. God wants us to go out there and show compassion on them and preach to them and bring them to His house. The hopeless, those who are hopeless, those who are depressed, those who do not have any hope, God wants us to go out there and preach to them and bring them in. The grieving, those who are grieving, those who have gone through problems and challenges of life and they are weeping, they have seen God as a God that is not loving anymore, God wants us to go out there and bring them. And finally, the ignorant wanderers. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Oh, sorry, Hebrews chapter 5, rather. Hebrews chapter 5. Let's read verse 2. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 2. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Brethren, there are ignorant people out there who do not know anything about Christ. There are ignorant people out there who do not know that Jesus is the way to eternal life. God wants us to go out there and bring them in. And there are those also who are out of the way. They have lost their way. They are in other religion, dead religion, that will not lead them anywhere. God wants us to do something to show compassion, to go out there, do something and bring them in. I pray the Lord will awaken us and will not cover up our bowl of compassion, but will show it and will go out there and express it and convey it to others and bring them into His kingdom in Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads and present ourselves before the Lord. Brethren, I want to ask you this question first. Have you received the compassion that only Christ can give? You know, that compassion that He showed to that extent that He went to the cross to die for us on the cross of Calvary. Have you accepted that love? Have you accepted that compassion He has shown to us? Have you surrendered your heart and your life to Jesus? Or are you like the Israelites who have the opportunity of receiving Him and they have broken relationship, they have broken their relationship with Him, and God is telling you today, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, the Lord is calling you and telling you tonight that even though you may have messed up, God is merciful. God is compassionate. God is gracious. Come back to him. Accept him. Have that, you know, accept that gift of compassion, and then you'll be able to show it to others. And as believers, pray and present yourself before the Lord and say, Lord God, this compassion, Lord, this nature of compassion, put it within me. This nature of compassion that Christ had, this character of compassion, Lord, put it within me. Help me, oh God. Let's present ourselves before the Lord. Please, Pastor, you can take over.
Let's come before the Lord. The Lord has spoken to you. He has spoken to me this evening. He has told us what compassion means and why it is necessary that we should embed it in our lives as his own children. We're going to open our mouth this evening and tell the Lord. First, to ask you, brethren, do you really understand what compassion means? From the message, compassion is that deep feeling of sympathy, that mercy you show or somebody shows to another person who is in a less fortunate situation. Compassion. Compassion. Brethren, this evening we have heard that compassion is an active word. Compassion sees, compassion acts, compassion pities. We say you have compassion, it must cost you something. Compassion forgives. Compassion also touches life. We're going to tell the Lord this evening, oh God, help me. Help me, Father. Jesus is an exemplar of compassion. Out of compassion and mercy, he has towards us. He left heaven, came down on earth here. He suffered humiliation, abuse, insult, different kinds of things from people that he created. Brethren, in all, he still died for them. Compassion. We're going to tell the Lord this evening, help me, oh God. Maybe you have done it before. You got a negative response. And then you told yourself, it is not necessary any longer. Brethren, it is not so. We have heard this evening that compassion is Christ's character. When the Bible says, he that said he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. If you and I are children of God, we must show it. Because as we heard this evening, compassion reflects God's nature. And if we want to go to heaven, brethren, the people who we see around us, that we are not concerned about their eternal life. Brethren, that doesn't show the nature of God. We have seen also that compassion inspired Christ to perform healings. The compassion made him to go out of his way. The crowd that was following him, how many days they were with him, and the disciples urged him, Master, it is time now to release these people. Let them go and take care of themselves. And he said, no, they cannot. You see how loving our Jesus is. You see how caring our Savior is. That no matter how much we think that we are in the midst of a hopeless situation, he cares for us. And brethren, if he cares like that, the message here instructs us and inspires us that we should be like him, that we should learn from him, that we should cultivate this lifestyle. It compelled him to provide for the multitude. Oh, compassion also guided God to reveal eternal truths. Brethren, we have opportunity to share the truth with other people. And somehow we look at the physique of these people, their body build, how well gorgeous and dressed they are, and we think that these ones look so intimidating. He will not hear me. She will not hear me. No, you are missing it. This is not your word. As me, you are telling them to believe in you. It would have been a different ball game altogether. But you are a messenger. You are somebody sent by the Lord. You're not telling them your word. It is the word of God. It is not your gospel. It is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go out and tell them just your word. Just Jesus died for you. It's enough. They will believe you. Fantastic. If they don't believe you, like a hunter who goes to hunt for games in the forest, you have released the bullet. Somehow, one day, sometime, they will fall. We're going to tell the Lord and say, God, help me, oh God. Help me, Father. You know, when we see men as trees, when we see men as objects, when we see them just in the physical, the way they appear, and we don't look beyond what we see, we'll begin to fall into the mistake that the people of the world. But with compassion, we will know that, look, these people, like they don't have any eternal life. If they die today, they will perish and go to hell. That will drive us to go after them. That will drive us to do very many things to get them back to the Savior. We are going to pray and tell the Lord, oh God, help me, help me. I want to show compassion. We have had this evening, compassion has its competence. It has its conquest. That with compassion, we must be refused to be disengaged, and then we become a distant observer. Compassion will drive you to go closer and go closer and go closer. Compassion will drive you no matter how far you are. You see somebody who is in a less fortunate situation, you will want to know, you want to see, you want to draw closer to see how much you can help. Brother, we are going to pray that you don't want to be a distant observer. Somebody is having challenges somewhere and you know you can help. And that is something you can do. Brethren, the Lord is speaking to you this evening that, oh God, help me. Help me, oh God. I want to show compassion. I want to show compassion. I want to show compassion. There are many people out there that need me. But where they appear, you think that they don't need you. No, they need you. Just look, for instance, go tomorrow to your office, maybe place some work, your business, see somebody passing by, or an acquaintance, like you've been seeing her, him or her. Just ask him, how are you? And you stand by. You will discover how much attention they will give to you. They will tell you everything about them, how the week has gone, how yesterday was, how what they are going through. That is to show how hungry, how empty the desire for companionship, that somebody cares for me. Oh, I don't want to be a distant observer. I don't want to be a distant observer. Brethren, the world is filled with people who compare. Instead of compassion, many people have comparison. Maybe I have this, he doesn't have this. And we feel that we are better, even not knowing that we need to show compassion. But the one of the passages we read this evening about the Good Samaritan, we're going to spend a bit more time to pray on this particular Bible passage because it encapsulates the message in Luke chapter 10 in verse 31. And the Bible says, and by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Brethren, we are going to pray this evening. You know, church people, this could be our lifestyle. He doesn't come to my church. He has invited him. Sometimes he doesn't come. And then the person is in a very critical situation that needs our help. And we think that I'm going to church. I'm on my way to duty. For that reason, I am not going to show compassion. The good Samaritan was able to challenge the life and attitude of this priest. We're going to tell the Lord and say, God, help me. I don't want to be like this priest. He had the word of God, the instrument of righteousness, he possessed the oracle of God. But the time has come for him to exemplify, demonstrate that which he preaches. He failed because he held more to religion than righteousness. We're going to pray that our attendance to church will not just be for religion. Tie your head. No. Don't open your head. No trousers. And then for men, you must always dress properly. And then our religion stops at that level. The Lord wants us to go deeper. To go deeper. Show compassion on them. Of course, like this Levite in verse 32. And likewise, the Levite. when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Can you imagine? And the man was still there, breathing once in a while, almost going, oh, priest, oh, Levite, this is the time to show who you are. But they failed. Brethren, you will not fail. I will not fail. As much as the law permits us in this country, we will show compassion. Let's tell the Lord this evening, oh God, I will not fail. Like this priest and this Levite. Imagine the Levite. Of course, the Bible has made it very clear. You must not touch a dead person. Otherwise, you'll be declared unclean. That is religion. That is religion. But brethren, are we going to hold religion? Religion will not carry you to heaven. Religion will not take any of us beyond this earth. We're going to tell the Lord, as this Levite and then the priest failed, we will not fail. But look at the least expected person in verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He had compassion on him. Brethren, we're going to show compassion this evening. First of all, we're going to ask the Lord. There are many people who are into broken relationships, broken homes. These children, they have their social life broken. Because when a man and a woman come together and they groom their children, those children have balanced parenting. We're going to ask the Lord and say, God, for as many among these young people who are actually a menace to the society, because of broken home, Father, send forth your mercy upon them. Send forth your mercy upon them. Send forth your mercy upon them. And as many, oh God, who are hurting, maybe they have got disappointment or whatever. Oh God, have mercy in the name of Jesus. Look at this good Samaritan. He was called a good Samaritan because he succeeded. He passed a test that Levite and a priest who are not supposed to fail, failed indeed. Brethren, he will not fail. I will not fail. We're going to tell the Lord in all our engagement, tomorrow presents another test. To go and show compassion to the dying world. They are in force and again ill, Sammy. Brethren, we are going to pray. Oh Lord, help me. Give me the grace. As I go out, I need that internal boldness. Not to look at how intimidating or fierce they look, but Father, to look at the inward man, inward nature. Father, for me to go out and let them know that Jesus loves them, that Jesus loves them. Brethren, the ultimate end of all compassion is to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to them. Let's pray this evening. Oh God, as I go out tomorrow, I go with compassion. I go with compassion. I go with compassion. Every day the Lord presents us with opportunity to demonstrate compassion. He has showed it to us. He wants you to show it to the dying world. He wants to show it to the hurting people. He wants to show it to the disappointed people. He wants to show it to the prodigal sons and the prodigal daughters. They are out there. They want somebody to help them out. Brethren, you will not fail. We will not fail. Of what benefit shall it be? We've got all the money in this country. We possess all the good things of life. And then there are other people who are not fortunate to hear the word of God and have this peace that you have. And at the end of life, the Lord calls you home and asks you, all the time I gave you here, what did you spend it? And you say, I spent it for my office work. I spent it on this other and this other thing. And you forgot the primary, elementary, basic, crucial, fundamental thing. We're going to tell the Lord, oh God, I will not fail. Give me the grace, Father. I will not fail. I will not fail. There are many of them that are broken. They are battered by the issues of life. As God opens our eyes, we will minister to them. We will speak to them. We will minister to them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brethren, before we conclude, we are going to tell the Lord this evening. You know, one particular segment of the society, as I've observed here, these are the youths. In the next 10 years, 15 years, this is not just peculiar to Finland, all across Europe, and even the entire world. this particular current generation, nobody knows the type of life they are going to live tomorrow. And then this freedom that is being preached in this part of the world, and it is getting to the extreme. Parents will not talk to their children, you know, don't correct them and so on, but we are going to pray. You know, when you go to these corners of the street by this time, you see these little children, 12, 13, 14, they are smoking. Even if the Lord prohibits children that age to smoke, we are going to ask them and say, God, we don't know how you are going to do it, oh God, but the reason why you brought us to this country at this particular point in time is to impact this society. Open our eyes, oh God, on how to identify these people, and we show compassion on them. We will reach out to them. Father, whatever program, whatever strategy we need your grace this evening. At the corporate level, at the individual level, or maybe at your family unit, you map out some program on how to reach out to this set of people, preach Christ unto them. The Lord will give us the grace. That is the compassion. We have that passion, when we have that dedication and devotion to start to pluck them out from the jaws of the devil. You see, God will give us all the available grace that we need to accomplish this purpose. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, shall we pray? He will give us the grace. These young people who are broken by their lifestyle, who are suffering as a result of societal norms, the Lord will give us the grace on how to reach out to them and bring them to the fold and preach Jesus to them and show them that it is possible for somebody to live and have peace, for somebody to sleep and sleep very well and wake up the next morning very sound, refreshed, renewed, revitalized. Some people cannot sleep. Some people don't have time to sleep. They lay down and then they roll from one part of the bed to another, thinking and thinking and thinking. They don't have peace. You are here in this country to tell them about Jesus. The Lord will help us, will not fail. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we want to thank you, O God, for the word this evening. You have charged us to have compassion on them. Father, look at the society and behold us, O God. Lord, where we have failed before, maybe like Ezekiel, we were so concerned about their physical appearance, how mere, how fierce they look, intimidating they look. And so we look ourselves like grasshoppers, but today that perception has changed in Jesus' name. With compassion, we will go out. We will reach out to them like the good Samaritan. Oh God, who saw the man that was beaten by robbers, he went out of his way, did everything possible, including spending his money to resuscitate and bring back this man to life. Help us, oh God, we use our resources, our time to get these people back to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, every form of blindness, oh God, those boundaries, social boundaries, cultural boundaries, economic boundaries, intellectual boundaries that hindered us from exercising compassion to the lost world, oh God. Today, we tear those boundaries apart in Jesus' name. Help us, oh God, to show compassion. Help us, oh God, as we show compassion to the world outside. Father, we pray among ourselves, which is more important to God, because you say, do good unto all men, especially those who have the household of faith, to show compassion among ourselves, that we'll be so concerned about a fellow brother, a fellow sister, which will, before a week, the week passes, it should not be the responsibility of the pastor alone. Members of the church will become one another's keeper. We visit other people, we call them on phone, we have some good news to share, we go and spend time with them, we even eat together. That is how the early church started. And the Bible said they were of one heart, one soul. Help us, oh God, that this unity, this revival, internal unity and revival will return among us in Jesus' name. Father, tomorrow as we launch out to these two communities, Forza and Ilsami, Lord, we will show compassion to those cities. We bless your name, Father, because your servant, you used tonight to bless us. More of your anointing, more of your freshness. will be upon him in Jesus' name. Thank you because you know you have answered. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.